today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus says in Matthew 24, 15, you won't get it. None of you will understand it unless you know the book of Daniel. He says it in verse 15. This is awesome. Is this not awesome? Jesus is saying, know your Bible. It's the only way you're going to survive.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know there's an easy way to stay informed on the latest biblical events shaping our world today? Check out the Happening Now section at jackhibbs.com. Now, these live events feature Pastor Jack Hibbs alongside special guests, diving into current events, cultural shifts, and how they align with biblical prophecy. It's a unique blend of Bible teaching and real-time analysis that helps you make sense of today's headlines through the lens of Scripture. Happening Now, it's not just about information. It's about equipping you with the truth and encouraging you to stand firm in your faith, no matter what's happening around you. Now, these discussions are eye-opening, they're thought-provoking, and they're a great way to stay spiritually grounded in a rapidly changing world. Whether you watch live or catch up on past events, Happening Now will help keep you connected to God's Word and what's going on in the world today. Visit jackhibbs.com and click on Happening Now. Don't just watch the news. Understand it from a biblical perspective. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Parables of Jesus and a message titled The Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 1. A parable is a picture story painted by Jesus that really makes the truth crystal clear. In this parable, Jesus likens his return to a fig tree. You see, this parable was given by Jesus shortly before his death, burial, and resurrection. So this puts an added urgency to its message. When you see that the fig tree has leaves on its branches, you know that the summer is near, and it's just as you'll know the time is near for Jesus' return. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that while Jesus was on earth in human form, he didn't know when he was coming back. Only God the Father knew. Jesus, of course, knows now, but we don't. And we have got to be ready for his return. Now with his message called Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Here's the deal. Some people say that, no, something cataclysmic has happened throughout history when these things happen. It's not exactly true. Because, listen, when my God does something, it's extremely detailed. Very exact. And some of the dates that are used to justify the red blood moons, they're not even the right dates of the events, or they're too vague. That's why I couldn't mention it. And I disappointed some people by not mentioning it. When was the first one? April 15th, right, tax day? And so, listen, here's the deal. When you look at people who argue that these are biblically significant events, astronomical events in the stellar, in the sky, you need to pay attention to these things. And then the verses that they used, here's the problem. They're all verses used for the tribulation period. Not today. My friends, you're going to have eclipses, and you're going to have blood moons, and you're going to have earthquakes, and you're going to have stuff. All that stuff should do for us is remind us someday. Listen, honestly, listen to me carefully. Someday, far from now, the Lord will come back in the second coming and establish his kingdom. But the rapture could happen any second now. Do you know that? You better know the difference between those two events. This is very important. The rapture could happen any second without a warning. There's no warning given in the Bible regarding the rapture. It is sudden. It is for God's people only. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God's people are gone. Amen. The second coming has massive prophecies that must be fulfilled before Jesus can return to the Mount of Olives from where he left. Literally, in Scripture. This should not be confusing if you read your Bible. So the blood moon things, listen, here's one more thing in the blood moons and then we'll be off. Listen, but because these things are happening, and we as Christians are suckers for this, we better be very careful, because here's, look, we had a blood moon on April 15th. And don't you know that if we have an earthquake tonight that's big enough somewhere in the world, or if it's in Israel, it must be from the blood moon. It must have been a blood moon event. Are you with me? If something happens significant in Israel, then it must be a blood moon event. Christians don't ever, this is why the world won't listen to us. They think we're lunatics. Because we try to make Bible, I don't say you do, I'm saying collectively Christians, are so excited about the Bible, and they're grasping for things often to try to make the Bible come true. Oh my goodness. Whoa, slow down. Because listen, people in World War I thought that the second coming of Christ was imminent. So did the people in World War II. Did you know that? And if there's a third world war, you know, there could be five more world wars. We don't know. It doesn't say. You're going to believe the end is near too. It's the way that we think as humans. But be careful. Judge everything like this. I should hold it like this. Judge everything like this. Let everything coming into your eyes be filtered by the word of God. Okay, so listen, if something significant happens in these next 16 months or 18 months, whatever the time frame is, I forget, of the blood moons, everything's going to be attributed to the significance of the blood moons. And I think that's dangerous because my God deals in specifics. It'd be very, very clear when he does his thing, like it is, like we're reading here. So I'm probably disappointed some of you, but I love you anyway. And then, verse 30, then the heavens are shaking. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not gray glory, but great, great glory. Well, that's the second coming, so gray glory would be technically in that group with us, so. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, a great sound of a trumpet. Don't confuse this with the rapture. The rapture is the trump of God. There are many trumpets in the Bible. Do I have your attention? This is so important. Do you ever want to know what us pastors talk about when we get together and talk sometimes? Just let's talk about Bible. This is one of those things. Is it a trumpet or is it the trumpet of God? The Bible's full of trumpets. Read your trumpets carefully, my friend. Know your trumpet. There is God's trumpet. It's interesting. Two times God's trumpet is used to gather Israel, his nation, and to gather the church, his bride. All the other trumpets are trumpets. Angels blowing trumpets. There's seven trumpets in the tribulation period blown. Joshua, they had, oh, everybody's got trumpets. Moses made two trumpets. Two silver trumpets. Watch out. I didn't start my stopwatch tonight, so we're just getting started tonight. No, I'm kidding. There's a clock. I'm going to end. It's the end times. It's the end. In 15 minutes, it will be the end of my time. And so he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. That is a reference to the globe. Literally is broken up into four winds or four sections. That's what that means. Verse 32. That was all introduction. And now here's the vortex. You see, now this is the, we've been heading toward it. And here's the column. Here's the drain, if it would be, the point. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender, that means it's come out of the winter, the branches have become supple, life is going to happen, you're going to see it in a moment, puts forth its leaves, you know that summer's near. It's obvious. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, there's several interpretations of this. This generation, meaning those who see the last day's events, because the seven-year tribulation period is very quick. Is it them? It's possible. Some thought, because of nearness, many thought, On May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation that day. So a generation which varies from 43 years to 70 to almost 80 years, that time frame is going to be significant. And so from May 14th, 1948, you count on, you have these different models, the Lord's going to come back on this day. And listen, there were books you could buy. Some guy had 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. Remember that? And he sold 1.5 million copies of the book. He made $3 some odd million off the book. And he's still spending his money today. Why? Because Jesus didn't come back in 1988. In fact, Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour. So if you think you know the day or the hour, we know it ain't going to be on that day. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. Isn't that interesting? Vitally important, I believe that whatever you view the generation, one of the interpretations I think is very safe. So you can pick one, but one of the interpretations is very safe. And that is the Jewish people. Because the word does mean, can mean race. And the world wants to exterminate the Jewish people. The Jews are hated more than any people group in the world because Satan hates them. And I think Jesus is saying that the Jewish race will not perish. It's possible that that's what he's saying. Will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Now that's interesting because, again, I mentioned earlier the preterist guys. Jesus says all these things have to be fulfilled, not some of them, all of them. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You see, didn't Jesus know? Not while he was on earth, he didn't know. He chose not to know. Listen, this is cool. And you want to write it down. Jesus was what the Bible, or what the Greek word is, kenosis. K-E-N-O-S-I-S. Kenosis is Jesus willingly laid down opportunities or tools. He was always God, but now he's God in human skin. But you know how the Bible says that Jesus grew in grace and knowledge before God and man? He said, how could Jesus grow in knowledge? Because listen, he laid down certain things to learn like we had to learn so he would be able to associate with us and we would know that. Remember when Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword, you knucklehead. Don't go around cutting people up. Remember that in the garden? Peter, put away your sword. What did he say next? Peter, by the way, while he's scolding Peter, it's so awesome. Peter pulls out his knife, cuts off Malchus's, the assistant to the high priest, cuts off Malchus's ear. It falls on the ground. Jesus says, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know? He's got the guy's ear and he puts the guy's ear back on his head. And he's probably looking at Peter, probably not even looking at the guy's head. Don't you know that I could call down 12 legions of angels to rescue me right now? What did he mean by that? Kenosis. I could, but I'm not. Isn't that interesting?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
While on earth, Jesus didn't know when he was coming back. You think he knows now? I think he knows now. And so, but my Father only, verse 37, but of the days of Noah were also, so also with the coming of the Son of Man be. So look, I know things are bad here in this state. We're seeing indications of it, but that's not it yet. Let me cheer you up. It's going to get much worse. Unless Jesus comes back tonight, then it's going to get much better. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, people are going to care less. Then, please mark this down. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Mark this. Watch, verse 42. We'll talk about verses 40 and 41 in later studies. We'll come back to that, I promise. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. Verse 43. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would not have watched and not allowed his, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 44, therefore, so watch, know, therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. So this is the introduction to this parable tonight. You've got the things leading up to him saying, this is the parable of the fig tree. Know it. Oh, and by the way, in the end days, it's going to be like this. All of it pulling, events leading up to, we're living in the events leading up to, but you and I are in an amazing time. We're living at a time where we have now passed 2,000 years of history are behind us. Has there been church persecution? Yes, but Jesus says it's going to increase in the lives of the believers. It's increasing. It's increasing. Jesus also says that there's events coming, that the key to understanding them, listen, I'm almost done. Jesus says in Matthew 24, 15, you won't get it. None of you will understand it unless you know the book of Daniel. He says it in verse 15. This is awesome. Is this not awesome? Jesus is saying, know your Bible. It's the only way you're going to survive. And it's the only way that you're going to know. Why is it that there's so many opinions on vital portions of Scripture? Did Jesus, listen, watch this. Why do some people say this? By the way, you guys have been the most quiet, obedient group. I pray you're obedient and you're not sleeping right now. Jesus says, he's telling us to read our Bibles, and yet why are there so many strange opinions, even among Christians, about very, very clear things? For example, did you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be baptized to be saved? But why do some Christian churches teach you have to be baptized to be saved? Answer, they're reading the writings of people more than they're reading the writings of God. Why do some people say, for example, that Jesus, his blood died for, it was a limited blood purchase. He paid for some people. Why do people say that when the Bible says he died for all the sins of the world? Amen. Well, no, Jesus only loved some people. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world. You see that? Why is there such confusion? Honestly, when we start reading other people's writings, we get goofy. Stick to the Bible. This stuff comes out of, frankly, sloppy Bible reading. Just read the Bible, and when you're done, read it again. And when you're done, read it again. It'll take you about a year. So go through the Bible every day. Do it again. If you don't, there's a warning. I literally got to the second page of my notes tonight. But it was important for us to start here. We had to start here. I am pleading, begging, exhorting you. Read the book of Daniel, specifically chapter 9. Because there's a reason why it's referred to or known among eschatologists, students of Bible prophecy, the future writings of the Bible, that Daniel chapter 9 is the holy of holies when it comes to understanding all Bible prophecy. And isn't it amazing, 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked to his disciples and the Jewish people, even to this hour, you must know Daniel. Isn't that cool? Isn't it great that the Son of God, the Word of God, pointed the people of God to the Old Testament Word of God? I love it. Father, thank you for your Word. And I don't know. Well, tonight was a great night, no matter how it was received, because we just read a bunch of your word. And I love the fact that my letters here are in red. It's even more exciting. Letters of red, Jesus speaking. And some, Lord, maybe tonight are saying, man, that's freaky stuff, man. That's awesome. And I want to ask you tonight, you who are thinking tonight, do you know Jesus? We're looking at things. Some have happened. Some are happening. And a whole lot's going to happen. And let's be honest, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, if you have no way of escape out of this that you heard tonight, it would be absolutely breathtaking and terrifying. But Jesus gave us a promise. He's speaking to us regarding the tribulation period to come and the wrath of God poured out on earth. And Jesus, over and over in the epistles, the gospels, it's announced to us who believe that God has not appointed us to wrath. You will not receive the vengeance of God. If tonight you choose to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, he died there for you. He died there for me. I'm going to heaven, not because of anything I've ever done. In fact, it's probably safe to say most of the stuff I've done is what would keep me out of heaven. I'm going to heaven because of what he's done. And you see, my friend, tonight, if you don't know these things and you don't have the hope of Jesus tonight, if he could come tonight, or if you were to die tonight, that you'd see him. If you don't have that assurance and that hope tonight, don't you think it's bizarre that many of us in this room do have it and you don't? And yet, listen, it's not because we think of ourselves as something. Oh, no, we know what we are. But we know who he is and what he's done. While your heads, while all of our heads are bowed tonight and we're praying, Christians, please be praying. God's word will never fail. He keeps his promises. These things will happen. But he's also promised salvation to all those who will call upon him. Do you believe tonight that he died on the cross? Do you want his salvation, that he paid the price for your sins, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died there, was buried, and rose again from the grave? And you want to give your life to Jesus tonight? You want to give him your sin, give him your life, give him your thinking, give him your anger, give him your passions, give him your lust, give him your fears, give him your sins, and he'll exchange that with his life in you. Do you want him tonight? Nobody looking around, but if that's you tonight, will you put your hand up high right where you're sitting? Will you pray now? Will you let this prayer fall from your lips if you mean it? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I'm inviting you tonight to come into my life, to change me, to make me new. I want a new life. I claim you tonight as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was right here on this earth, and will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Hey everybody, we want to introduce you to what we're calling our summer bundle. It's two great books, and you're going to want to get them for the little ones in your life. The first book is called Prayers and Promises for Kids. It's a great resource to not only teach your children about the promises of God, But how do we take those promises and pray them into our lives? You're going to find this a great resource to develop a prayer life with your child. And then the book, The Redcoats Are Coming, written by our own Nancy Sanders, who attends our church. It is a great, great book. It is featured by Adventures in Odyssey and the wonderful people at Focus on the Family, Prayers and Promises for Kids, and The Redcoats Are Coming. They're two children's books that are very powerful. Get a copy of both these books as we bundle them for the month of July.
That's The Redcoats Are Coming and Prayers and Promises for Kids, a couple of great books. Available as a bundle for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.